The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please listen to me. Listen to the words I have to say. It's very important. It won't be long, just about 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, and you know we don't use any manipulation because we're not trying to con you. We're not asking you for money. We're not trying to sell you a product. We just want to give you some information from the Word of God. Hopefully you can verify and identify God's plan for your life by listening and applying this information, and you'll orient and adjust to that plan in your life. I'm honored to give you these radio shows. Going on 20 years now, we've been producing the Flatline radio show across America, and I'm so thrilled that you give me a few minutes of your time. Thank you for listening. I want to talk about the believer's advantage, but before I do, let me remind you of our website, rickhughesministries.org. That's rickhughesministries.org. There you can find our various books that are available free of charge, such as God's Grace in Aging and Life's Toughest Years and A Divine Pardon, Practicing Your Christianity. All these books we've written are available for you free of charge. All you have to do is order them from the website. You can also listen to many of the messages that we've given in various churches, and our announcer, Jack, also reads some of our books over the website. So we have all sorts of things available to you there on the website. And remember that we do podcast all of our radio shows on Apple, iPod, Spotify, Podbean, and other podcast platforms. So you can always listen, if you're a podcaster, you can always go to Apple, iPod, or Spotify, type in The Flatline, F-L-O-T, and you can listen to the show that way anywhere in the world, any day, any time. Don't forget what the Flatline stands for, Forward Line of Troops. And this is something my pastor taught years ago, and he let me use this term, Flatline. It's a military term. We're talking about adding in your soul 10 unique problem-solving devices that act as the main line of resistance that keep the outside sources of adversity from ever becoming the inside source of stress. So keep that in mind as you listen to The Flatline. If this is your first time, I hope you'll get in touch with us and let us send you some material that will help you understand what we talk about. There's a lot to learn. So I want to start off by talking about the advantage that we have as Christians, the wonderful advantage that God has given us. I'm going to read you a verse of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And, listen to this now, what I'm about to say, God is faithful. There's your advantage. God is faithful. He will not let you be tested or tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted or tested, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Now, we find in this verse a tremendous provision by grace, God's wonderful grace provision. God is faithful. What an amazing statement. Principle number one, there's only one person who's totally faithful to you and I. Only one person faithful related to us, and that's God. He will be faithful to us because why? Because of His perfect character. He cannot be unfaithful. God never would be unfaithful. So the fact, prompt two, that you're alive, plus everything that you have, is a matter of God's faithfulness to you and me. He is faithful. He loves us every moment, every day. So I got to ask you this question. In what area is He faithful? What areas is God really faithful in? And first, we must understand that His faithfulness is a provision guaranteed. Not a 5-year guarantee, not a 3-year guarantee like an automobile, but guaranteed for life to His children. And the reason He can do this is because of the work of the anointed Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. His faithfulness does not depend on our spiritual status. It doesn't depend on that. God is not faithful if we're faithful. God is faithful even when we're unfaithful. So since you and I are in Christ Jesus, we are His children. We are under His care. We're sustained by His provisions. He's faithful. Listen to Lamentations 3:21 through 25. This I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, that's His faithfulness, we are not consumed, because His compassion, His personal love, never fails us. They are new every morning. Here it is. Listen, here it is. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I have confidence in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait and trust patiently for Him, to the souls of those who seek Him, positive volition. That's somebody who wants to understand, know, and apply God's Word to their life. So when the Apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 10:13, our verse we started with, where it said God is faithful, He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. We need to understand that word tempted is actually the Greek word pyrasmos, pyrasmos. That's a weird sounding word, but it means to put to the test or simply to be tested. And this can be seen through adversity that we endure or even the discipline that we have to receive sometimes. God's faithful in both areas. This word pyrasmos is the word for examination. Now, it's normal for you and I to be examined by God as a form of momentum testing. What is that? Momentum testing. You may ask yourself, what is momentum testing? Simply, it's the circumstances that provide us the opportunity to apply what we've been learning from the Scriptures. And each one of us, you and I, we all must go through these tests if we hope to maintain or ever get to attain spiritual maturity and glorify God to the maximum. That momentum testing can include the test of our sin nature's domination, fueled by our own arrogance. Remember, you have a sin nature. You were born with a sin nature. The Bible says, for by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. You have a sin nature, different trends, different lust patterns. It's always fueled by your own arrogance, your own self-justification, your own self-deception, your own self-absorption. So that sin nature can be part of the momentum testing. How do I learn to overcome the desires of my flesh? It can also include the lure of the world. Momentum testing can deal with that. The lure of the world, cosmic system propaganda. The Bible tells you in 1 John 2:15, don't love the world. Don't love the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And that's the cosmic system, Satan's domain. So momentum testing, we all go through this as we accept Christ. We begin to grow spiritually. It includes disaster testing. And it could be a personal disaster, like many of our friends have experienced in the recent months in the hills of the Carolinas and Georgia and Tennessee or Florida. And it could be people testing. Maybe you and I experience that in political realms. So how do we handle those circumstances? Do we let those things get us out of fellowship? Do we get depressed? Do we get angry? Do we get mad? Do we get bitter? Do we get revenge motivated? That's not the way we live. That's not what the flight line's for. The flight line is to intercept that adversity and stop it from becoming stressed like that. But don't think for one second that your Heavenly Father is ignoring your situation. He's not. He is very much aware of what you're going through. Now, again, I think about our friends that are going through those disasters in Florida and in the hills of Tennessee and North Carolina and Georgia. He's with them every step of the way. Each one of those people that's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, He watched over them. He provides for them. Many of those churches are talking about that even today. Many Christians have gotten great stories about what God did to deliver them. So remember, the verse says, He will provide a way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13, He will provide a way out. Did you hear me when I read it to you? No temptation is overtaking you except that which is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tested or tempted, He will provide a way out. Isn't that amazing? Well, if we commit personal sin, what is the way out? How do we get out so that we're not overrun completely, so that we're not shut down spiritually? The question is, will we follow His instructions given to us in the Scriptures? For example, when we fail the momentum test of our sin nature and we let it take over, then our way out is to confess the sin as per 1 John 1:9, where the Bible clearly tells us if we will confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all wrongdoing. It's a simple verse, but it's a wonderful verse because it tells you how to take a bath spiritually, how to be cleansed from sin. So when you go to God and you can admit your sin, you recover the filling of the Holy Spirit, and you can restore your fellowship with God. But remember, you cannot and will never be able to function in the Christian life without the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul tells you in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. So if we don't recover from our sin, if we continue to linger in it, and we don't have enough humility to admit to God what we've done, then definitely He will bring enforced humility through divine discipline. Here's Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So it's not fun for God to take you to the woodshed. And divine discipline comes in stages. Divine discipline number one, warning discipline. Divine discipline number two, intense discipline. And divine discipline number three, even dying discipline. God doesn't play games. So when the Lord has to chasten you to get you to break out of that sin nature control, He may warn you, or it may be tough, but it's for a reason. So it can yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. So when we cite our sin, God faithfully, there's the word again, He forgives us every time, regardless of how you and I feel. He forgives us. You may say, well, I don't feel forgiven. I don't care how you feel. That's not the issue. God said, if we will confess our sin, He will be faithful and just to forgive our sin and purify us from all wrongdoing. So whether you feel forgiven or not is not even the issue. You are forgiven. Now, God is faithful to us again once we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, even though we can sometimes be very unfaithful as Christians. Does the Bible specify anything like this? Yep, sure does. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, He who calls you is faithful and will also do it. Now, here's a great verse I want you to remember, 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, He, that's God, remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Once you become a member of the royal family of God, you're not going to get kicked out. For God to kick you out, He had to kick His only unique born son out, and He's not going to do that. Once you're born again, brought into the family of God, you're not going to be kicked out of the family. Even though you may be faithless, He remains faithful, 2 Timothy 2:13. Underline that one in your Bible. He cannot deny Himself. So He's faithful to protect us in our eternal security. He's faithful to protect us from Satan's intentions. Did you know that? In 2 Timothy 3:3, but the Lord is faithful who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. There's a divine promise for you. He will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Satan's intentions may be to defeat you, to distract you, to discourage you, but through the filling of the Holy Spirit and through the resonance of Scripture in your soul using the faith rest drill, God will be faithful to deliver you. And here's another thought. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is God's faithful provision against satanic intentions. In other words, whatever Satan would like to try to do to you, the Holy Spirit can override that. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. There's your promise. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of you is much stronger, much greater, much smarter, much more powerful than Satan. Satan might be smarter than us because He's just a created angel, but we have the greatest spiritual resources provided by God's faithfulness, God's wonderful faithfulness. You know, the Bible, the scriptures are one of our most powerful weapons when we're dealing with Satan. In Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Don't you ever forget that it was God's Word, just like what I just gave you. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It's God's Word that delivered the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 4:4 when Satan tempted him. Remember, Satan tried to get him to turn the rock into bread, and he said, "Man, it is written." And every time Satan would tempt him, he'd say, "It is written, it is written, it is written." He stood behind the Word of God. That is our most powerful weapon through the filling of the Holy Spirit and the dynamics of the Word of God. The faithfulness of God will provide anything we need. So the faithful provision of God can extend down, here, listen to this, even to your children and even to your grandchildren. Did you know that? If you have grandchildren or you have children and you pray for them and you want them to be able to handle things when you're gone and be able to survive when you're no longer around, listen to this about God's faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7:9, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God," there it is again, "who keeps the covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His mandates." And in Psalm 119, verse 90, "Your faithfulness endures for all generations." Wonderful, wonderful. That means I can depend on that for my children and my grandchildren. If I can introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ and create within them a hunger for God's Word, He will protect them for thousands of generations. Here's the principle. Remember this. If God was faithful to you in eternity past, and he was, then He can only be faithful to you in time and in the future eternity as well. He's faithful, not unfaithful. God's faithfulness is manifested in what we call logistical grace provisions. That's your daily needs. None of us ever need to worry about the basic necessities to sustain our life. He will provide. Where does the Bible say that? 1 Thessalonians 5:24. "He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." So those of us that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ have nothing to worry about. No sweat. He will provide the logistical grace necessary for us to complete our journey. So our very existence and the function in this life depends on the faithfulness of God. And His very divine nature is to be faithful to us. God is faithful. Faithful to protect us. Faithful to guard us in the midst of the unseen angelic battle, which is fought daily all around us. So we can rest confidently in His promise to meet our logistical needs. He promised He'd meet them. Hebrews 13:5, "Let your way of life be free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for He Himself has said, 'I will never abandon you, nor will I ever desert you.'" There's the testimony of God's faithfulness to you right there. Isn't that amazing? "I will never abandon you. I will never desert you." He's faithful. Always has been faithful. Always will be faithful. So God keeps His word. He's never made a promise that He's not kept. In Psalm 119, 89 through 90, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to every generation." So He's not going to change His mind. He keeps His word to every generation. There never is made a promise by God He hasn't kept. He's not like us. He's faithful. Therefore, unfaithfulness is totally incompatible with the very nature and the very essence of God. Malachi 3, verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." God is faithful. Now, if you will allow me, I'd like to tell you how God has faithfully sustained this radio ministry for the last 19 years. When I began this ministry, I had no idea it would grow to be so large. Previously, in the first 30 years of my ministry, I traveled across the nation from Texas to the East Coast speaking to high school students. My records show that the faithfulness of God protected me and provided for all of my financial needs without me ever charging for any visit. I conducted several thousand assemblies in hundreds of schools, and I was able to do this because my pastor taught me the principle about God's faithfulness years ago. And that principle is, if he's in it, he'll pay for it. So I refuse to ask for offerings. I refuse to sell the books we printed to the students. And, of course, that first 30 years, was I always faithful to him? Was me? Did Rick, was I always faithful? No, absolutely not. Not even close. But I learned how to confess my failures. I learned how to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was able to travel about 25 weeks each year because of the faithfulness of God, who also gave me a loving and understanding wife, dear Lydia, who worked as a teacher and raised four wonderful children at the same time as I was traveling. And her faithfulness is a testimony to her own spiritual life and the sacrifices she made so that I can do the things that I did. Around 2004, I began broadcasting this show called The Flatline in Birmingham, Alabama. In the first few years, we ran about 30 stations across the South. Once again, God's faithfulness provided all the needs. It was really amazing to watch it happen. But we ran all across the South in about 30 different radio stations. He provided the necessary funds to purchase the airtime. I said purchase the airtime. It's not free. And to provide the printed material, we had to pay for that as well, for all who requested the information. He provided every nickel we needed. He was faithful to do that. Eventually, God brought individuals into this ministry who had a greater vision than me. And under their direction, we expanded into 100-plus cities. We began purchasing airtime in different cities from Maine to California. We continued to print books, continued to pay salaries to the working staff. All of this was provided by God's logistical grace provisions, meaning His faithfulness. But I mean, by that I'm telling you, we don't ever ask for money and we never sold anything. We just depended on God's faithful provisions, and He is faithful. So what you've heard today is my 1,000th Sunday to be broadcasting this radio show. 1,000 Sundays. In those 1,000 Sundays, God has been faithful to provide every word I need, every voice I need, every thought I need. Everything has been designed for you in hopes that you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and hope that you would grow to be a spiritually mature individual. As I move forward, I want to encourage you to find that well-qualified pastor who can teach you the mechanics to the spiritual life. We're going to make some changes in the future to this radio show in the coming months, so let me thank you in advance for your prayers, for your support, your encouragement, and let you know that it's always great and always wonderful to hear from you. But I never intended to be your pastor. I'm not your pastor. I'm just a voice in the wilderness crying out. I'm looking for those of you that would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm looking for those of you that are Christians that are not being fed and you're hungry for the Word. That's what I'm looking for. Much like when I go fishing, I used to fish a lot, I don't do it anymore, but when I'd go fishing, I'd go from one hole to another, to another, to another, trying to find where the fish were, trying to locate the fish. And it's sort of like that through the radio shows. In the various cities, we're fishing. Fishing for you. Fishing for positive volition. Fishing for those that are lost, wanting to be saved. And it's been my prayer that maybe through this particular radio show, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you have, I'd love to know about that. If through this show you accepted Christ through something that we said and provided for you, please don't hesitate to write to us and let me know. And through this show, if God has blessed you, or through this show God has encouraged you, or through this show your life has been changed, I'd love to know about that too. Those letters of encouragement mean a lot to me, I promise you. Because that's why we do the show. But we're not here to just give you a little bit of a devotional topic. Many people write and say, I listen to you on the way to church, and that encourages me. I'm glad you're going to church, but I'm not a devotion. I'm a scout. I'm a fisherman. I'm looking for positive volition. If you're really, really hungry, if you really want to grow, I can tell you where to find it. I can tell you how to do it. I can tell you what those 10 problem-solving devices are. I can direct you to a well-qualified pastor. I can give you material that will help you until you find that individual. But you should be able to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These 1,000 shows have been possible because of God's faithfulness, as I said, to raise up phenomenal staff, and of course my wife Lydia, who makes sure that all this goes right. So that's the faithfulness of God, providing people that put all this together and make it happen. I'm so very thankful, so very grateful that I've had the honor to do this. And it's my prayer that we'll continue with 1001 or just around the corner as we press on into the year 2024. So keep praying for us, keep listening, and I encourage you to keep growing in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because He is faithful. He will provide your every need. He will never abandon you. He will never forsake you. Remember that verse I read to you, even if you are faithless, He will remain faithful. And that's a true statement. So think about that. And until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you so much for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. It's just a short time, 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and we try to do that without any manipulation because we're not trying to con you, we're not trying to solicit money, we're just trying to give you accurate information. You might want to ask yourself, how do these shows benefit me? That's a fair question. As we expand and add additional costs for production and broadcast, I take comfort in God's grace provisions. He provides the finances, and He provides the inspiration for my messages. The objective is always to make you wealthy, not me, you. Not financially, spiritually. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, the Bible says we have this treasure in our earthly vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. The Greek word for treasure, used in the New Testament, is the Greek word thesaurus, meaning a word treasure. In Colossians 2, the Bible says that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth, there it is, the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, that's understanding the Word of God, and results in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 3 says, how blessed is the man that finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her profit, there's the wealth again, is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you have compares with her. That's the wisdom of the Word of God. Many years ago, right after my own salvation, I had many questions as a young Christian. I didn't have a church background, so I was not influenced by any sort of religion. As I grew and sought the Lord's will for my life, I had several influential men who tried to direct me into their way of thinking, but it just didn't click with me. It seemed to me like they were trying to make me something I was not. Eventually, the Holy Spirit directed me to a great pastor, a no-nonsense type guy who provided me with a good biblical education, fair, tough biblical education. What I hope to do for you is teach you that sort of information that my pastor taught me, so that you will grow and become rich in God's plan. Because with spiritual wealth, you're going to be a dangerous person to the enemy, but you will be equipped to see past the scams and temptations he'll throw your way, things that seek to ruin your life. So what about it? Are you hungry? Are you ready to grow spiritually? Because if so, I have an information for you this morning. We're going to do a self-examination. A self-examination from the Scripture is seen in Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. What we find in Psalm 19, especially in verses 1 through 3, is David's recognition of God's unfailing love for all, since he's revealed himself for all to be, for all to acknowledge. Listen to Psalm 19:1 through 3 about God revealing himself to everyone. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech and no language where their voice is not heard. So there's no place in the world at any moment of time that God's glory is not revealed, teaching who he is. In this passage, David discloses how the creation itself, I mean, some people call that nature, but we know more than that, how God's creation reveals the presence of God, and there's never been a time or a place on this planet that God's presence is not seen or understood. From the coldest regions to the warmest regions, God can be seen, and if the one observing his creation wishes to know him, I promise you God will provide the necessary path through Jesus Christ to come to know him. This attitude is called positive volition and God consciousness. Each individual who accepts Christ as Savior must first come to this. They must first come to recognize there is a God who they can then come to know. In Romans 1:19 through 20, here it is, God consciousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Romans 1:19 through 20. Some people may try to identify God and worship him by placing faith in a tree. Maybe worship a rock or a fish or a bird. But all that is only ritual that has no reality. Anyone who seeks to know God will be given the information about how to come to him. Thus, salvation requires one thing, positive volition at God consciousness. And then once you are positive at God consciousness and you say, I want to know God, I want to understand God, he will give you the gospel. And then there's positive volition at gospel hearing when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the two great decisions in your life, God consciousness and gospel hearing. I became God conscious at 11. I remember it, distinctly remember it, at a camp where my mother sent me. But I was 22 before I heard the gospel. So the Bible gives credit to God for his work in creating and sustaining the universe. In Psalm 147, verse 4, he counts the numbers of the stars, and he calls them all by name. I guess approximately 200 billion trillion stars, according to smart people. But apart from God, who could actually count them? I'd like to see the guy they pay to count them. Listen to Job 12:7 through 10. But now ask the beast, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and of the fish of the sea will explain it to you. Who among all of these does not know that this hand the Lord has done this? Verse 10, Job 12:10. In whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. So when we read that passage in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Here's what we're seeing. When the psalmist says, let the words of my mouth, we got to remember the average individual, maybe not you, maybe not me, but the average individual is going to speak about 16,000 words every day. Now, I do know a few individuals that can break that record easily because they're a bit loquacious, but not many. It would be an interesting experiment to carry a recorder around and complete one complete day and then go back and listen to everything you said. Wouldn't that be interesting? Did you complain? Did you criticize? Did you express appreciation? Did you pray? Did you tell even one person about the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't forget what the psalmist says, let them be acceptable in thy sight. Maybe you fail to realize that God hears every word you utter throughout the day. Excuse me, did you know that? Every word you utter throughout the day, he hears it. In Luke 12, verses 2 through 3, the Bible gives us clear insight to this. See if I can get this turned to this particular place. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you've spoken in the ear in the inner room will be proclaimed on the housetop. So again, did you complain? Did you criticize? Did you express appreciation? Did you even tell one person about the saving work of Christ? Because everything you said will be known. If you wish to avoid that embarrassment of being judged for your conversation, then remember what I'm about to give you here. Remember this in regards to what you say. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, Ephesians 4:29, but only that which is good and necessary for edification, so that it may impart grace to the hearers. When the psalmist says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, this is important to remember what you say and what comes out of your mouth. In James 1:19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And also in Proverbs 18:2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. That means running his mouth. That's exactly what a fool loves to do. He loves to get people around him and run his mouth, try to tell them that he knows what's best for everybody else. So if you wish to avoid the embarrassment of being judged for your conversation, remember those words. Again, at the verse was Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, not judgment. Let God handle the judging. You just give out the grace. So let's go back to that original verse. Let the words of my mouth, what I say, the things that I say throughout the day, and then he went to the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Meditations of my heart. And remember, this is a self-examination. So the first thing we examine is what we have to say, what we speak. And remember, God is listening to everything you say. A lot of people don't realize that, but God can, he can hear you. But here's something you're about to be shocked when I tell you this. Not only can he hear you, but he can read your mind. The meditations of my heart. What exactly is that referring to when David said, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight? The Hebrew word for meditation means to ponder or to think or to reflect. So it does appear that God is able to read our thoughts. Did you know that? You don't even have to open your mouth that God can read what you're thinking. In Psalm 139, verse 1 and 2, O Lord, you have searched me, you have known me, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You, listen, here it is, listen, you understand my thoughts from afar off. Yes, he does. Right now, whatever you're thinking, God knows what you're thinking. He understands your thoughts. That's why the psalmist said, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Don't let me get into thinking some negative something that I don't need to think, he's saying. The meditations of my heart. So, you've searched me up and down, Psalm 139 says. You know my thoughts from afar off, as I quoted. Listen to Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord, listen carefully, weighs the hearts. He evaluates what you're thinking. The heart is the right lobe of your soul. The Bible says you have a mind. The Greek word for mind is a nous, N-O-U-S. And that's your mentality. We get the word knowledge from that. But you also have a heart, cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A in the Greek. And that's referring to not the part that beats, circulates blood, not that heart. I hope your heart's doing good. But it's a different heart. It's the responsive part of your soul. See, when you hear information, you understand it. But until you cycle it or metabolize it and apply it into your life, it doesn't do you any good. That's why Jesus said in Luke 11:27, happiness belongs to those who not only hear my Father's word, but keep it. He gave that in response to a woman who challenged him, and she stood up and claimed that his mother must be really proud of him. And he said, nope, people that hear my Father's word and keep it, that's where the happiness comes from. So every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. He examines your thoughts. He examines the meditations of your heart. This is what we know as the omniscience of God. It's amazing. God actually has the ability to see our private thoughts. Did you know that? Remember that this attribute is not an attribute that Satan has. Satan is not omnipresent, nor is Satan omniscient. So he depends on his fallen angels, otherwise known as demons to us. He depends on them to communicate to him our activities. Ephesians 6 tells you that. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of darkness of this world. So he has a G2, you know, getting intelligence on us, what we're up to. But he cannot read your mind. He cannot read what you're thinking. And I can promise you, if you're not a threat to him, he's not going to be worrying about you. Otherwise, that's how it goes. I don't think he's overly concerned about your daily activities, especially, listen carefully, especially if we can't gain victory over our own flesh, our sin nature, or the lure from the world, what the world throws at us. So, God does have the ability to see our private thoughts. What a wonderful attribute. A lot of times when I'm praying, I don't pray out loud, I pray silently. And I know God hears me because he can read my thoughts and hear my thoughts. But I know that Satan cannot, and that's a comforting thing to know, that he doesn't know what I'm thinking. What does the Bible say about the way God thinks? Remember this, okay? He doesn't think like we think. God doesn't think like you and I think. It's very clear in the Bible, Isaiah 55, verse 6, or actually verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. I put it backwards to start with there, but what he's saying is, I don't think like you think. God doesn't think in terms of emotions like we do. Meaning he doesn't have a bad day and a good day. He doesn't get his feelings hurt like we do. He never gets lonely. He's not needy. And his thoughts are absolutely righteous and always motivated by virtue love. So God doesn't think like you think. You get frustrated, you get upset, you get angry, you get bitter. God never gets that way. He thinks completely different. How does that mean? What do you mean by that? In Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's thinking different. If you have somebody you hate, you're exactly going to die for them. You're not going to lay your life down for some enemy, some person that wants to kill you. Would you be willing to die for them? Because that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Laid his life down even for those who hated him. Why would he do that? Psalm 86:15, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion. You're gracious. You're long-suffering. And abundant in mercy and in truth. What a great, great, great thing about our God. This needs to be your personality profile also. Are you full of compassion? Are you gracious? Are you long-suffering? Are you abundant in mercy and truth? This is a characteristic of God, and you can have that through the filling of the Holy Spirit, through the wisdom of the Word of God in your soul. You can think like this as well. You can have this compassion. When you look at a person, do you think about their eternal destiny? Do you think whether or not they're going to heaven? Do you have any compassion about those that are suffering in our nation today, as we see about it on the news, the terrible disasters that we've been experiencing the last month? What kind of compassion do you have? How gracious are you to help those people in need? So exactly, if God wants to be pleased with our meditations of our heart, as the psalmist said, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. How can we please God like that? What do we need to do? Well, Philippians 4:8, Paul the Apostle wrote about that. He said, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, there's the first key right there, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, there's another key, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and there is, if there's anything praiseworthy, and there is, then meditate on these things. So here the Apostle Paul just gave a mandate on what you are to think, what you are to meditate upon. So if the Lord looks at you, and he looks at the meditations of your heart, this is what we want him to see. We want him to see that you love truth. Truth, aletheia, the Greek word, aletheia. It means the things that are not hidden, things that are not concealed. That you are a lover of truth. What a wonderful thing that should be. And it's obvious that Satan doesn't speak the truth. Our Lord Satan said that about Satan himself. He called him the father of lies. In John 8:44, you are of the father of the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in truth. There's no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it. God doesn't tolerate liars. That's one thing you have to realize in your own life. Don't lie. Don't be deceptive. Don't deceive people. Don't say one thing and do something else. Do you think in terms of truth? Because that's what Paul said. Let your mind think in terms of the things that are true, things that are noble. What is noble? What's that mean? Well, that Greek word means things that are dignified, things that are respected. It means simply to stay away from frivolous conversations that are just mind distractions. The world is full of mind distractions. Politics is one of them. It can get you very distracted from your spiritual life. So if you want to have a life that is pleasing to God in the meditations of your heart, don't get into mind distractions. It says whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely. Just means righteous. Pure means innocent and holy. Lovely means those things pleasing and grateful and acceptable. It goes on to say whatever things are of a good report, whatever things are healthy. So the challenge is so that the church at Philippi might have a good mental attitude, free of spiritual default and sinful default. A good modified translation is given in Jaeger's The Renaissance New Testament, and I quote from Jaeger, Randolph Jaeger. Here's where he modified this translation. I think it's a good translation. Therefore, my brethren, whatever there is which is true, whatever is worthy of great respect, whatever is just, whatever is immaculate, whatever is lovely, and a good reputation, if there's anything virtuous and worthy of praise, these are the things that you must think about. So success starts with what you think in your soul. Have you ever heard the term stinking thinking? That's what you cannot afford to get into. Let me show you some stinking thinking from Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, along with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The surest way to discredit your spiritual life and destroy any opportunity you might have to glorify God is for you to worry about something. And there can be any number of things to worry about. I mean, what about our health? We worry about our health. We want to worry about our finances. We want to worry about our family. Many things. Those with approbation lust worry that they're not being accepted. They're not being received and not being given enough attention. Remember that Paul said, be anxious about nothing. How do you handle that? Well, faith residual, problem-solving device number 3, is the solution to mind pollution. That's a key term you've never heard me say before. Faith rest drill is the solution to mind pollution. What is mind pollution? It's you worrying about something that's not necessary. It's you being anxious for something that's not important. Mind pollution. Filling your thoughts with garbage rather than with the confidence and the appreciation for what God has done for you and what God will willingly do for you. Listen to Psalm 118, verse 8. This deals with mind pollution. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Trust in the Lord rather than put confidence in man. Well, do you put confidence in an elected official? Do you think if we elect a certain person, the world's going to get right all of a sudden? Everything's going to be good and shiny again? Not true. The Bible says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. Trust in the Lord. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ controls history. God was in business before we got here, and He's going to be in business long after we're gone. So we have to learn to put trust in Him. It's better to trust in the Lord, wait on the Lord, be confident in the Lord, than to put your confidence in any man. Isaiah 41:10 clearly says these words, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That should be your verse to claim today. Don't be afraid about what you're facing. He's with you. Don't be dismayed. He is your God. He will protect you. Don't get weak. He said, "I will strengthen you. I will raise you up. I will help you." And He said, "What? I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So my question to you this morning in self-examination is, what does your heart meditate upon? When you're thinking, what are you thinking about? Let's go back to the beginning verse. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer." Can you claim that prayer today with me? Can you say that with me? I want my words to be something that glorifies Him. I want what I think to be something that glorifies Him. I want what I say and what I think to be acceptable in His sight, because He's listening to everything. Not only does He hear what I say, but He understands what I'm thinking. And where do I get my strength? And where do I get my redemption? From Him. You are my strength, and You are my Redeemer. Without God's wonderful grace, we'd all be in bad shape, I promise you. So that's my self-examination for you this morning. Look at this verse, quote it, pray over it, ask the Lord to speak to you about these things, because He's always there, He's always listening. And remember, the only way to get to Him is through Jesus Christ, His anointed Son. That's why the Bible says, "Whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You can have eternal life even today, right where you sit, by placing your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. "Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Bible's clear about that. And it's clear about that in your life, too. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, you should settle that today. Can you know it? Yes. The Bible says these things are written so that you might know that you have eternal life. Not hope, not wish, but know. How do I know it? The Bible says, "He that has the Son has life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." If you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and received Him as your Savior, you have eternal life. What a joy it is to bring you these shows. We're pressing on now towards 1,000 hours of being on the radio. You've been so kind to pray for me and encourage me. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. So until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.